This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard.
Hi, and welcome to the Astrology University podcast. I'm your host today, Vanessa Montgomery, and I am interviewing Aubrey Duclert from Coaching for Clarity about her new workbook, which is called Bring Your Whole Self to Work, Using Astrology as a Tool for Career Fulfillment and Job Search. And Aubrey is a professional career coach, and she also weaves in astrology to her coaching. So welcome, Aubrey. Thanks for coming along.
Thanks a lot for having me. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks, Vanessa.
Oh, great. So let's jump right in, because I'm really curious about, I think a lot of people are, about career and work in general, especially now with so much change happening, and open to the astrological angle as well. So what a perfect combination. Could you talk a little bit about your speciality? Because if you come from the astrological perspective, you are specializing.
Yes, 100% specializing. If people come to me and they want to talk about relationships or other parts of their chart, I always refer them out. So yeah, career is my focus. And career and work life, and just to be specific, it's like everyone has different things that they want from their work life. So someone might say, I don't want a career, but I want to have work for me so that I can dedicate my life to the things that they care about. I had someone that wanted to do through hikes for long trails, and they wanted work to support them in doing that. So anything that someone defines as their work, their career, and they want to make happen is what I talk to them about. Mm. I think that when we talk about this use of astrology, I know that many people who are listening and yourself will align with this idea that it's, to me, it's the most vibrant, most mysterious, supportive picture of the complex human beings that we are. And when we think about who we are as human beings and the way that we want work to work for us, to me, it's essential to have language, to have a name, to have support, and to have a reflection of who we are, so that we can make choices that bring our gifts out into the world.
And you were already a career coach, so you understand that quite solidly as well. Do you find a lot of people come in for similar reasons, or do some say, I just don't know what kind of work there is, or from the angle of, I want to make lots of money and be secure, or I want to have freedom? Like you said, someone wants to do the trails. Is it all from lots of different angles, or is there more of an overriding specific one?
Lots of different angles. So one of the things that I've been working with astrology in my practice for, 8 or 9 years now, and I feel like it's really opened up my mind to how varied we all are into what's important to us in relationship to our work lives. And so I'll get people across, you know, maybe I'll get waves of librarians who come in, right? Or waves of app developers, or, you know, people who are shifting different sectors from nonprofit to corporate, or corporate to education, or one of those sectors to entrepreneurship. So I might get people in waves that come through, but really the variety is what I think makes things really exciting about the work and the conversations I have. Because not only is it a way for me to engage and talk about people's charts and understand people as the real unique people that they are, with the things they want and need, and how that changes, right, with our transits and our age, yes, and experiences over time, but also in the sense of, wow, really opening up to this, everybody really has different things that they want and need. And to provide a really open, accepting space for that, because oftentimes, at least in our Western cultures, we don't have that.
Do you find that you see, because you've got the astrology as well, do you really see the themes starting to show up with charts? Like when you look at the charts, you know, by sign or by house, or particularly by transit, like the Saturn return, or, you know, those midlife aspects that happen?
Oh, yes. I mean, I really think about especially by transit, right? They get a lot of, when we start looking at the first and second Saturn returns, because, you know, when people are going through the second time, right? And if they're, they want to work, or they want to have what people might call a second career, when many of us actually have multiple careers in our lifetimes. But, you know, like the Uranus opposition. And then I think one that's really interesting that not a lot of people pay attention to is the Chiron return at age 50. But I think that we can even break things down into the smaller cycles, you know, the cycles of Saturn to itself or Saturn to another planet, broken down into 7-year increments. And we can tie those back to dates that are specific for people so they can say, like, what was happening 7, 14, depending on the age of the person, 21 years ago, in relationship to their work life, in relationship to their life, and how is that cycle being expressed now, and what influence does it have?
So would you say that Saturn would be more of the dominant indicator for career and career changes?
You know, I cannot say that. No. So to me, when I look at the chart, like it's when somebody just asked me this morning, they're like, well, tell me about my career house. And I'm like, well, like in general, from a US perspective, we've got three houses that may represent things that we think about in relationship to work, right? The second house, which is, you know, to me, self-esteem and resources and resourcefulness on our own. We have the sixth house of day-to-day environment for our work. And we have the 10th house in terms of our outward contribution and possibly our career. Mm-hmm. But we have to look at also the polarities of those houses, right? Because the, you know, astrology is set up to have the integration of those.
Yeah.
So if we look at the integration between the IC and the MC, right? What does that tell us about a person's connection and need in support in their work life? What does it look like between the sixth and the 12th, which to me is a real fascinating polarity to be considering. And then the second and the eighth, other people's money, you know, in relationship to our own. And then we start looking at all the other houses. And I think in terms of identity, in terms of communication, in terms of our belief systems, in terms of our communities. And to me, all of those houses have impact on our relationship to our work life. And so when I think about the houses, when I think about the planets, I'll look and, you know, eyeball where Saturn is, right? That's important. Or if Saturn's having a, by transit, being transited or by transit affecting certain parts of the chart, I'll definitely be looking at that. And of course, the ruler and all of those things. But what happens for me when I look at the chart is what's intuitively and also, you know, left and right brain process. And in addition to what is the client speaking to me is going on for them. Because I can enter into the chart and be looking at it like, oh, wow, Saturn's really prominent, this and that. And then they can tell me something and I'll be like, oh, wow, I have to follow where they're going, right? Because this is what's up for them. And so to me, from a coaching perspective, that's really important.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's really interesting. And you, speaking of transits as well, you were mentioning before we started recording that Chiron shows up a lot when people are coming in as significant. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I think that a lot of times people are coming to me, people are like, oh, wow. Like what kinds of things are people talking about? And I think that people are often coming because work life is not what they want, right?
Yeah.
They're not coming in and say, well, I do have a couple of people over time that come back and say, look, things are going well. I want to make sure I'm on a good 5-year plan for myself, you know? Yeah. But most often people are coming in because there's a pain point. Something isn't working the way that they want it to, or there's a change that's come at them externally, that a change someone else has made. Either they've been let go or a parent has died, or they're coming back to work after taking care of a parent or taking care of a child to a certain age. And so there's an uncertainty, there's an edge, there's a pain point. And I think that when I started listening for the certain kinds of pain points that people have, I think Vanessa, right? Like there's Saturnian pain points and Uranian pain points,
yes,
and Plutonian pain points. And when I was listening, I was like, I would start to listen to people and I would think, ooh, this is a pain point that's not falling in those categories. You know, what is this about? And it came around to a Chiron kind of pain point. And I think when we think about that kind of spot in the chart in relationship to work, it's this place where we get on a continuum of a stuckness. That's the other part of when people come to me and they're like, I'm just really stuck. And I'll be like, okay, what kind of stuckness is this? And it's this feeling that they know that they want to do something different, but there isn't a way to move forward and do it, but they can't ignore it either.
Yeah.
So there's something underneath there that's like the pee under the mattress that's just not going away. And this can happen in looking at in a natal relationship between Chiron and a primary planet in the chart, or a planet that's getting affected. So it's being affected indirectly by transit. And then it can be by Chiron transiting other things in the chart by saying either itself, right, for the return. It's less predictable than Saturn, right, in those oppositions and opening and closing squares, right? It's because of its orbit. But so, you know, there's a lot more ephemeris work going into identifying people's passages of Chiron. But, you know, when people are approaching 50 years old, there's a time of a place of what do I need to do so I don't regret it? What can I grab onto now? Which is a very different feeling from a Uranus opposition energy, right? That I've got to do it yesterday, right?
Yes.
My Uranus has to be out there. You know, I have to be doing my thing.
Yeah.
Chiron's like, ooh, I'm probably a little over the halfway mark here, you know, unless we come up with some real other scientific advances. And what is it that I want to be doing and what's holding me back?
And do you find that
those risks?
I think that's so interesting. I just not something I would have guessed at, but it makes so much sense, of course, particularly with the return. And do you find that's even with men and women? Because I'm just thinking about women having quite big hormonal changes around that age. And I wonder if that would really, you know, change their mindset to and be a bit more like it's more assertive. It's really like, let's launch. That's how I find that hormonal change.
Yeah.
So do you think that's part of it too with that Chiron and that age? Or do you think it's also, it's just looking ahead like, oh my gosh, I realize I have finite time and not to mess about anymore.
Yeah. I hear from women and men about it. I think the experience of it, might be different or, depend, and then some people aren't identifying gender wise around that, so it's, I mean, it's interesting because I'm coming up on my Chiron return, you know, in a couple of years. I'm having a heck of a lot of number of Chiron transits occurring. And for a few years before, I have a prominent Chiron placement in my natal chart that was being affected by Pluto. And so, it's a real, this isn't, my experiences aren't what clicked it off for me. It's just I'm getting different kinds of understandings of it, and I'll have an even better understanding once I go through my own Chiron return. But what ended up happening is many years ago, I was working with a group called Life by Design Northwest that was in Portland, Oregon, through Portland Community College. And so they worked with people 50 and over on transitions in their lives as a whole. And so I would go in and facilitate groups, and I was probably in my late 30s at the time. And so I did a lot of listening. And one time I went into a group that was, during 2008, 2009, during the
GFC,
the crash, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
the Uranus, the square,
yep.
right? And so the beginning of it. And then I was listening to people in the room. I was sitting in the back listening to a friend who was basically saying, this is how you apply for government jobs, right? Let me give you the ins and the outs of applying for federal jobs. It's a pain in the butt, right? It's a really long process, really detailed process. And so he was trying to give him some information. What struck me was that men and women alike, regardless of, and I don't know how everybody identified in the group, but people, right, in the room, couldn't hear him. And most of these people were in the Chiron return space. And they were like, in that space, and they could not take in the information because of the pain that was occurring in their lives and the feeling of like, and so he had no answers for that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
He's just up there being like, I'm really happy to tell you how to, gather your info and submit. And that's when I went to PCC and I said, look, there's something else going on here. How do we support people in this? Yeah. So yes, I think that all people have the experience of the return. And I think also given that, Chiron spends more time in certain signs,
Yes, that's true.
People have similar experiences, but the house is, a real good indicator of where that might show up.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because you are collecting data as you do this as well.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing two sides of it. I think that's really interesting. And you were talking about the great resignation during the time of Chiron through Aries. And of course, it's through Aries the longest.
Yeah.
So it's going to, I guess, have the most impact. Could you tell us a little bit about your view on that in terms of career and that transit?
Sure. It's kind of taken me by surprise that I had this conversation because I spend so little time at a societal level thinking about astrology because my conversations are so personal, you know, with people. But to be thinking about Chiron and Aries and this, you know, what I would consider the wounded continuum of I've got to do it all myself and, you know, why isn't anybody helping me? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, stop. I don't want any of your help. And like, wait a minute. Why does it have to be by myself? And this idea of hitting a tolerance, no longer going to accept this. And I think that some of this energy is the kind of energy that you're talking about in my experience of being in menopause, you know, like post-perimenopause, you know, whatever people would call that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's that whole process of perimenopause is like, I don't think so. At least for me and a lot of women that I know, it's like really looking at boundaries and being like, hey, what about me?
Yeah,
what
right.
That I want. Okay. And that there's a rawness to that. And so there's a rawness to that independence, the rawness to the focus on the self, especially when we're talking about Chiron and Aries and saying like, I don't want to do this anymore. No, this is ridiculous. And I'm not giving this up anymore. I am a valuable human being.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose I'm just thinking Aries, it's just like let your feet do the walking. You know, people have taken action en masse.
Yeah, totally. And if we look at what's going on with Chris Smalls and unionizing Amazon, if we look at, I think you and I were talking about, I couldn't remember her name, the woman from Dollar General who's using TikTok to speak out. Like, these are the places where people are finding their personal power, right?
Yeah.
And finding the place to take action when they are not finding satisfaction in trying to create change inside of their organization, especially with all that people have been through, you know, that we've all been through in the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, I guess
continues.
I think it's interesting more than ever now, placing, you know, people that are coming to you individually and then placing that, I suppose, for them too, to see the bigger picture, because even in my, like the clients that have come to me, a lot of people are changing jobs. They're going for what they actually want that was not, you know, apparently sanctioned by perhaps their parents or society. They're going for artistic pursuits, or they might have come out of, you know, their degree course in something sciencey, and they're like, actually, over COVID, I've, you know, really gotten into my illustration and I'm going to be an illustrator instead. Have you seen that massive flip as well? I'm guessing you probably have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that what I'm involved in also is the process where people are before that happens, because it can sometimes feel like a switch is getting, and sometimes it is, right? Sometimes it's just like brush of the hands, right? I'm finished. I'm taking action. I'm doing it right now. And sometimes, so one example is I was talking to a client and she was like thinking about, well, I think I really want to make a change. And she was just talking about these things that are adjacent, right, to what she wants to do. And then it was, and I was like, this is not sounding like the kind of big change that you're talking about. What's going on here? You know, is there something else that's happening here? And she's like, oh yeah. And actually what I really want to do is she wanted to be an esthetician. Coming out of education, right?
Yeah.
In a real, you know, more conservative type of role.
Yeah.
In a conservative kind of career path. And it was, but there was something hanging her up, right? About taking that action. Yes. And so that's a lot of times where I notice in Chiron is like, where's the hang up? Right? Where's either the hang up in the belief system or the thought, or hey, I think I really want to do this, but I totally can't because X, Y, or Z, right? The place where some pain point gets in the way.
Very interesting. Very
interesting. And perspective shift often happens in order to get to that place of taking action.
So do you find like confidence is something that you sort of with your coaching, like help coach the person through that gauntlet, basically that space where they've got to have the shift. They've got to maybe accept why this is okay. And I guess the things that stop them from doing it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a lot around confidence about who they are as people, you know, their gifts and talents. in the risks within, as you know, like our charts tell us a lot about risk tolerance for different people. Well, you know, and then you add the transits on top of that. And then if you add progressions and you start looking at those kinds of things, you get a whole picture of someone in terms of, okay, what's the natal experience of competence and risk? You know, what's going on in transits that might inform that or be inviting someone, you know, inviting me. I really don't shy away from things when they're really difficult or challenging or annoying, you know? So, you know, an invitation might be, it'd be like, sometimes it's like, oh my God, it's not an invitation. I've been steamrollered into doing this, you know, I feel flattened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think, you're right. It's like, and that's, I think, why when I think about the workbook or I think about the chart as a whole person endeavor and think about sessions as a whole person endeavor, it's really important to me because confidence is a package deal.
I can imagine. I can just imagine. You're this person that takes them through that middle place, you know, because it's funny, a lot of people I talk to as well, you know, they'll say what they're doing and I'll say, because it's something I picked up in Japan that everyone asked me, what is your dream? I thought it was really cute. So I like to ask people that now, and a lot of people will have this dream and I'm saying, you know, well, what are you doing about that? And they're like, nothing. They're not doing anything. And it's just, I think that's where someone like you comes in as well, in terms of that career, just like taking them by the hand and walking them through to there, you know. And it's amazing, like pretty much everyone can say exactly what it is, like your example earlier. They know what they wanted to be, like an aesthetician, but they were coming up with things that were adjacent to what they were already doing, which is, it's funny from a distance, but when you're in there, it's such a big deal.
It's such a big deal because that uncertainty, right? Just being on the brink of that kind of change.
And there's so much wrapped around why they're doing what they're doing and why they don't take that step. Like that's really the place I think that you're probably working in there.
Yes. Yes. That place of being like, okay. And also, in that place, be real respectful of the process, because there's lots of people I talk to and they're like, I can't believe it's taken me this long. And I'm like, look, there is no wrong timing in astrology.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, what I love about astrology, especially in those places of uncertainty and transition, is that it can be so validating,
yes,
and so comforting and affirming. And mainly, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with you. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with where you've been to this point. Mm. And like when they come to me, they're coming out of a response of the something inside of them that they feel like they can't look away from, right?
Yes. Yep.
Whether they can define it or not.
And I guess they're ready. They're ready too. They've made that call. They've booked in. They've come to see you. So they are ready. That's a big step.
Yeah. And the readiness, it's interesting. It's so interesting that you say, yeah, that readiness is because ready for, and then it'd be like, I'm ready, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea. And I feel like I should, or, you know, or I have a readiness, but I'm scared. And then we say, okay, well, then what parts of you need? And when we talk about that in the chart, especially, you know, like, you know, if somebody's got a strong Taurus, right? It's like, what's going to help them feel the most comfortable in taking this? Some other people are going to want to take a big leap and other people may not.
Mm.
And so the transition used to go at that's unique to them, right? Instead of this, I don't know, like Instagram judgment, you know, free for all about like, I'm not living my best life immediately. You know, sometimes it's like, yeah, you're ready to cut the cord and do it. And then other times, especially with, you know, if we're looking at a Chiron placement natally or by transit, you know, Chiron is not a big fan of like giant leaps off a cliff, right? I mean, you know, they've done studies about your comfort zone. And so this idea of feel the fear and do it anyway. I mean, like, let's talk about gradients of that.
Well, that does work for some people, but not everyone, does it?
But not everyone. And even if, and then there's people that come and they say like, I am usually a big risk taker. What is my holdup? Mm. Right. Or I'm usually so intuitive and I know what the right thing to do is. And it's just like, I'm not getting any information. It's to feel out of sorts and out of yourself and kind of be at sea. It's a rough place that we all know.
Yep, absolutely. And Chiron's no laughing matter.
No.
So you've got to take it really gently and just be so accepting. And I guess a lot of people probably aren't self-accepting about those things. And I really like that idea of attachment theory. And I think it's really important for a lot of people. So I can see where having that coach or someone to come in and perhaps take up a space that maybe no one ever did is quite healing as well. Passing through this change, it can be a healing journey. You know, that Chiron tagline.
Yes. Yes. Mm. And you have that background, right? In that space to really go there with people.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about your workbook and how you use that and how people can just go through that by themselves. First, I'll say there's one on your website around on Chiron if people want to get an idea about what the workbook is like on coachingforclarity.net. And this book for Career, Bring Your Whole Self to Work, Using Astrology as a Tool for Career Fulfillment and Job Search, is I did it so that I could get an idea of what it was like. So thank you for sending me through the PDF of that. It's a breakdown, like it's nice and simple breakdown of Sun, Moon, Mercury, right through to Saturn, signs, and then there's questions as well. And I found, like, I put a star next to questions that got me asking more questions, which I thought was really interesting, and kicked off that, you know, things like, you know, for Mercury, I'm curious about, or, you know, what you're not happy with at work, actually, you know, I guess taking the time to just get these things down and get clear on them is a huge step, isn't it? It's so important, but we probably are usually just overwhelmed by everything. So it helps separate everything. Do you find, do you do this for every client where you will get them to map things out?
No, it doesn't happen for every client because some people don't really, they don't want to go through that process themselves, right? They want to just sit down and have a conversation together and have one-on-one time. And so for those folks, we do that. I think that what I wanted is that to me, the when astrology is the most powerful is when it's connecting us to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about coaching. And so I had done a 6-week class for the Portland School of Astrology a few times on this particular topic, walking people through groups of people through how to look at the planets through the career lens, all of them, right? Through the signs, so that there's ways of looking at the chart in that way that I think about as like a whole person, right? So it doesn't go into the houses because then it would have been really long.
Yes, yes.
But the idea is I wanted to create something that for some people who said, I can't afford a session right now, you know, what can you provide for me?
Mm.
Or look, I want to do some self-reflecting on my own. Or for people after they've had a conversation, they're like, I really want to dive deeper into my chart from a work and career perspective and put some time and effort into it beyond the consultation. How do I do that? So I thought, okay, I'm going to put this class into this workbook.
Mm.
And it is very self-reflective in taking people through, you know, those inner planets up to Saturn and including Saturn, that bridge. Yeah. So one is to make it accessible for folks and people who are feeling self-reflective to really take them deeper. Like what you said, which is like, oh, wow, these are questions that we don't necessarily think of asking ourselves. And then when you go through the process of looking at them, and not every question may, you know, really inspire you, but there's plenty of them. It can, and my hope is that it can inspire further understanding and relationship with our own chart and the planets in our chart. And our understanding and deepening our understanding of our relationship, that it can help us understand what work works for us and why, in terms of how might I be able to make a decision about maybe a choice of a job that I have in front of me. So the idea is that it can help with all sorts of things going through this exploration process and this naming process, and then going through at the end and pulling out all the pieces together and putting them in one place to start saying, what do I know about what I really need? What really honors me about the environment that I need to be in, the kind of work I want to do, who I want to be doing that work with.
Yep.
What and has meaning? What communication style do I have? Do I need?
And visualizing what that might look like as well. I thought that was good.
Yes.
To take people into it. Like you're already going there in your imagination. I think that's helpful.
Yes, because I think that we, as a culture, it's so interesting because I think that when it comes down to our own dreams, and I love that you brought that up, right? Because, you know, I'm super practical in part of me. And then another part of me is that we don't have enough places to like sit with what we might want as a dream for half a second in a real practical context, right? Mm-hmm. In a way of making it happen. And so it's to have a place to say, I can imagine that what I want exists. Because most people are being like, yes. Okay, well, I want this and I want this and I want this, but that's too much to ask, or I can't yes. have all these things. And so what I find is that people end up, you know, when we're working together over a period of time, if they want to do that, that I kind of talk about it as a roller coaster, right? You like get to this place of understanding yourself and what you want and what you need. You're kind of like chunking up to the top yep. of that first peak. And then it's that elation of being like, oh yeah, this is what I want, you know, like, yes, this is what's really important to me. And then it dips down and that dipping down part is that fear of like, oh my God, what if I don't get it?
Oh,
yes. What if I can't have it?
Yes. And that's so a big deal.
Some people kind of do that for themselves by saying, I can't, or that's too much, oh. right? To try and cushion that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Just wait a minute.
Mm.
Sit in the space. That's why I wanted the workbook to also do this. Like, sit in the space of your wants and needs that are based on your chart and who you are, and not nothing else. Not what anybody tells you you can and can't do, can and can't have, or should or shouldn't want. Because sometimes even allowing a wanting of something can release yes. a tight grasp on it.
Yeah, it's just like taking that little baby step past where you've got everything locked down.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's so interesting, isn't it? I think something that stood out was, and I will put this to listeners that do this workbook, notice what planet is really, you know, you get excited about which section, like which, because there's signs and then you go into the planets. And I've got a lot of planets in Sagittarius, and Jupiter's also conjunct my sun in Sagittarius. And I really liked the Jupiter section. And I'm like, of course I like the Jupiter section, you know, really speaking my language here. And even to note that, like what stands out and maybe what is more of a challenge, because that might be worth going into that part a little bit more too, that you sort of like, yeah, try to pass on to the Jupiter part. I mean, who doesn't like Jupiter, surely? But that was a surprise. There were surprising moments in it like that working through. And the other thing was, it's really private. You can say anything you want because it's self-reflective. And I think that's really helpful as well, just opening up for people that maybe don't want to admit things to other people. It's important to admit it to yourself and really get in touch with what those things were. So I found that quite helpful as well.
Oh, that's really, I really appreciate hearing that, because I mean, the design was really done to make it an immersive, beautiful, supportive, and I like that word, private experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
an individual's place, and to do it with as much as possible without the voice, you know, whosever voice that is, of judgment.
Yeah. And just watch your own.
Yeah.
You have to put that aside, just leave it at the door while you do this. You can go pick it up later.
Yeah. Yeah. Or have ways of using the different planets and to look at it differently, right?
Yes.
Yeah, to understand, this judgment's coming from X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't get into the complexities of the chart, right? Of like, okay, well, it doesn't always feel this way because, you know, it's not taking into account aspects and houses and things. But I think that there's something around simplicity.
To get you going.
Signs, just to get that moving. And then if people can look at the same questions in light of aspects and houses also, and it's not, I mean, other ideas are in the works for more layers, but
yeah,
it's a good place to start.
It's definitely a good place to start. And there's quite a lot to that as well. I can see how like, yeah, you could easily do one that sits next to it. That's the houses. And if you sort of work through all of them, they'll all work together quite nicely as well anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did houses and then also the angles as a follow-up class at PSA. So
converting those to the next workbooks.
Yeah.
So
maybe in a little while.
Yeah, when you're ready. So let's start wrapping up. Is there any final thoughts or something that you'd like to share about the workbook or to people listening?
Well, I just want to reiterate what you mentioned about the Chiron worksheet. There's a free download on the site that gives you a sense of the kinds of questions. So people are like, you know, there's some pages that you can preview. So there's some ways to get a sense of the workbook and see if it's something that appeals to you. So I welcome you to do that. You're also welcome to just reach out to me and, you know, find out if this is for you or if there's anything about my style that, you know, the perspective that feels important. Because I'm not a real predictive astrologer in terms of don't ever do this, always do that. Do this during these transits, don't during those, or even very much in saying that, you know, I don't look at it from a vocation standpoint instead of in the way of saying this is a title of what you should be.
Mm.
So the workbook and my style is very much around who are you as a human being? And when we look at that, what's the natural narrowing that comes from knowing yourself well and honoring yourself and making sure that that leaves openings for lots of possibilities in the way that's expressed, not only in who you are and you have your gifts to contribute, but in the logistics of the things and the way that money matters to you and work environment and the kinds of the nuts and the bolts.
Yeah.
So just so people know what to expect in terms of the philosophy and the intention of the workbook and my work.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, guys, check it out. Aubrey D. Clerk. Is that how you pronounce your last name? D. Clerk?
Yes. Thank you.
Clerk. Yeah. The Bring Your Whole Self to Work workbook. And you can find that at coachingforclarity.net. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I found that really interesting. And personally, I want to know more.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.